KD0TYU, looking for check-ins, check-ins for the TechNet. Anybody want to check in, please do.
This is KD0TBB.
Howdy, what's new with you, KD0TBB?
Well, I don't have much of a voice left. I got some kind of bug, so I don't think I'll be talking too much tonight.
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, you can always listen, I guess. Here's that.
Well, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth, and I guess he meant us to listen twice as much as we talk.
Yeah, it's an excellent analogy. Appreciate that. Well, okay, anyone else want to check in for tonight's net, please call.
Hi-ho, Joe Reno, K0J.
How you doing, Joe?
Two of you guys in there. OJ was first. How did you like Wyoming, my friend?
Well, wished I could move up there, but you know how that goes. I'm stuck down here. Love our topography, hate our politics, so there you go. And looking forward for next Saturday. Too bad you can't be there. So there you go, Kaiser OJ.
What's next Saturday?
A picnic.
Oh, I gotta be there. Yeah, I'll be there.
Excuse me, this Saturday, but anyway. Well, you said you wasn't coming, that's all I know.
Kind of got pushed the other way, so I'll be there.
Tonique.
Hey, Zero EZU, how's Mike doing tonight?
K-Zero EZU, I'm doing real good, Joe. How's everything going with you?
How about this, Joe? K6VTE.
Bill, hang on, let me get a hold of Mike here, and then I'll be right back to you, my friend. I was going to call ARRL on that thing, and I forgot about it when I got home this afternoon. I worked this morning, and I totally forgot about it, but I'll call him tomorrow.
Hey, Zero EZU. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. I know you'll get it done, and things will work out. On the side, listen instead of the net.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I just flat forgot about it. I set it out here and was going to do something about it, and I came up here and I looked at it, and it's 5 o'clock. I know when they're not open then, so I'm sure that's the form we need to fill out, and I'm sure we did it right. But I just don't want to waste the time and actually the 25 cents or 50 cents or a buck or whatever it costs for a stamp if we're going the wrong way with it. So. Thanks, Mike. Hey, Bill, what's new?
Well, you see, I didn't check in. I tell you, I'm listening, so here I'm checking in and I'm listening.
I sent that note out and I heard absolutely nothing from anybody.
No, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, anyway, I'm here listening, so continue on. K6VTE.
Anybody else want to check in for tonight's net, please call.
80JP.
N7GES.
Whiskey, India, Quebec. Carrie and Loveland.
Yeah, we got a bunch of you guys in here. We got Kevin, we got Carrie, and we got Greg. Greg, great job the other day. Thank you very much for doing that.
Yeah, no problem. Gary got his connection sorted out, and I've seen a few other people connecting to it as well, so I guess it's something people were interested in.
I knew that that club would want to do this because I was sure that they would be very interested in it. I wasn't sure about NCARD, but I definitely knew that WARS would be.
Yeah, well, they seemed interested when I gave the presentation, so hope they enjoy it, A80JP.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing that. Kevin, N7GES, what's new?
Oh, not very much, Joe. You sent the letter out and didn't get a response. So you mean the topic for tonight? I thought it was great. I didn't think of anything to say.
Oh, this was WARS. This was a note for WARS. It had to do with the linking project.
Oh, okay. Okay. Missed that one. All righty. Well, nothing else here. I'll be listening. I may be a little far from the radio at times, but I'll be around somewhere.
Great. Okay. N0WIQ. How's Carrie doing tonight, my friend?
Well, I've forgotten the subject for tonight, so I don't think I'm doing very good on that score, but I'll be a hero listening. This is N0WIQ.
Well, the subject for tonight, and it might be a little controversial, and I'm not looking for it to be controversial, but I am looking for it to be opinionated, and that's which antenna is good for what. Doesn't that be HF? Doesn't that be UHF? Could be anything, you know, and I want everybody's opinion, and everybody's opinion is valid. In fact, I'm actually going to do a small preamble about that, you know, there's no wrong thing that goes on here. So that's kind of what it's for. Well, thank you, my friend, for checking in. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's net, please call.
Whiskey, Zero, Charlie, Sierra, Delta. This is Reed on top of Moody Hill now.
Reed, you're coming in really, really super.
Well, after so many weeks of working on my Land Cruiser, I finally got it fixed, got the engine put back into it, and now I con some of my club to coming in to a little bit of a nighttime four-wheeling adventure. So we just made it to the quarry up on Moody Hill near Crystal Mountain, and I've got a pretty good line of sight to the repeater.
Sure you sound as good as I do. I mean, you're very, very clear, probably better than I'm doing.
Well, the key right now, I think, is my failing alternator is a big problem, so I don't have my vehicle on at all. I'm just running straight off battery power to my 8800.
Cool. You got a good setup there. Thank you, Reed, for checking in. Anyone else want to check in for Dynesnet, please call.
W6VYW, Kevin, also on the trail with Reed.
Hey, Kevin, what's new with you?
Not a whole lot. Started a new job about a month ago. I haven't checked in for several weeks now, but loving the new job and getting back into working on my truck and stuff now that I have a paycheck again.
It always does help. Thank you, Kevin, for checking in. This is KD0TYU. This is the Tech Den, sponsored by the Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club. Anybody want to check in? You do not have to be a club member in order to join us. Please check in.
E0HIB, Ted.
Ted is at KE0HIV, is that correct?
Correct.
What's Ted doing tonight?
Just looking to see what we've got going on. I haven't been able to make contact in like a couple of weeks, been too busy. So just trying to get spun up again.
Oh, okay. What radio are you using?
I've got a handheld.
You're making the repeater dead on. It sounds really, really good.
I'm glad to know that. Thank you.
You bet. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's net, please call.
Kilo Charlie Zero Juliet Alpha X-Ray. This is Jack in Meade.
Hey, Jack, what's new with you?
Well, I installed a new roof rack on my FJ and with it a new antenna and cable. And since you guys are all on the air, I'm going to run out there and grab a quick radio check from you guys.
Got it. Go right ahead. Give me a shout.
Kilo Delta Zero, Uniform Sierra Bravo, Mike, Crystal Peak, just west of Moody.
You guys are all up there. How you doing, Mike? Haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, we've been kind of homemaking up here in our new 12 acres. It's just wonderful up here.
That's cool. That is so cool.
I'll leave him.
Thank you, Mike, for checking in. We're waiting for Jack, but before we let's see if we can get some more check-ins.
Kilo Echo Zero, Charlie Whiskey, Mike, Jay, Fort Collins.
Hey, Jay, you've been gone for a while. You've been doing neat stuff?
Well, shoot, Joe, thanks. I've just been hanging in the weeds, haven't even played radio. I've got the machine shop going and doing some welding and things of that nature.
Making the big bucks too now, huh?
I work for free too much.
I know that feeling very much. Hey, Jay, thanks so much. It's good to have you back. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's net, please call.
KC0JAX Mobile.
Jack, you're coming in very good.
Yep, you sound good too, so I guess I'm happy. I'm going back inside and listen.
I hope you participate if you want to. Thanks so much for checking in and rechecking in. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's net? Well, let's start off. This is KD0TYU. This is the TechNet. TechNet, sponsored by the Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club. You do not have to be a member of the club to join us, so please call.
KF7BOB, Bob in Loveland.
Bob, what's to do with you?
Oh, I just got home a little bit ago, and Lila says the check engine light is on. PO171 is not getting enough gas, which probably means it's getting too much air, or it needs a little shot of BMG fuel injector cleaner. That's an easy fix.
Sounds like it, unless it's a fuel pump, but I guess if it's running, it's not a fuel pump.
No, I did the fuel pump when we first bought the car just because the fuel level sender was attached to it, so I killed two birds with one stone, so I don't have to take that tank off again.
Never done an in-tank pump. I kind of dread the idea. I've done a lot of outside ones on the side of it, laying on the ground. I remember the wife lost her fuel pump on that 67 Mustang, and I'm laying on the interstate putting a fuel pump on that thing. But, oh, well. Hey, put them in the tank now.
Well, this will be easy. Just dumping some goop in there, and, well, I'll let you know about that maybe Wednesday. Anyhow, I'll get out of the way so you can get back to business, but, don't forget to record this stuff.
To the best of my knowledge, we are. Anyone else want to check in tonight for tonight's net, please call.
KE0KBF, Dean in Evans.
Hi, Dean, what's new with you?
Well, not a whole lot. I was actually trying to check in with my little HT, but apparently it just doesn't have enough power to get out, or I don't have something right, so I hopped out into the mobile radio to check in.
Evans is the proverbial hole.
In 0WIQ with an addendum.
Go ahead, Gary.
We might state tonight for the questions, there is no dumb question. You just have different starting points from the rest of us.
You know, that's an excellent way to put that. I never thought about that. You're absolutely right. That's an excellent addendum. I appreciate that. I'm going to go out for one more call for check-ins. Please call. Well, I don't know if the repeater's doing this or... can somebody tell me if when I key up that noise goes away?
KE0EZU, affirmative.
Thanks, Mike. I just don't know. I mean, I'm here to come in and out, but we'll keep going until we start getting back, and then we'll just kind of... give up, because I know the 115 is in, we might have some issues there too, so. Anyway, before we start our subject for tonight, is there anybody that has any questions for the net tonight? Please call. Okay, for our new folks that just joined us, I kind of maybe should have explained this before I asked those questions. This is a tech net, technical net. Anything from what color do I need to paint the pole up into the big stuff, like what do I need to do because I've got this noise problem over here or something like that. Any question about amateur radio or amateur related events are perfectly fine. And as Kerry well puts, there is no dumb questions, okay? And so don't think that you're going to be embarrassed by what we've got. We all started someplace, and so I do appreciate that. So with that, are there any questions at all for the net?
KE0KBF, I do have a question for you.
Certainly, go right ahead.
Okay, well, I'm looking at putting an antenna up in my attic because the other half isn't really excited about towers. And I've been trying to find an answer because I have solar on my roof that covers the back half of my roof. And I'm trying to find out if there's any problems or anything that I got to do to mitigate, you know, RF or anything between an antenna and a solar panel. The only answer I get is, well, you got to try it and see. And, well, I don't want to spend money on an antenna just to try it and see.
Before you go any farther with that, what antenna? Is it UHF, VHF, HF, or what are you thinking about doing?
Well, both HF and also VHF, UHF. But the VHF, UHF, I thought about just putting a J-pole in the attic. HF, I'm still learning this, so I really don't even know what to use or what type of an antenna to look for.
N70WIQ, do you have any answers for him there, Kerry?
Well, it kind of depends on the size of the attic, but the solar panels will add some direction deficits because they are usually made with aluminum shells, so I'll just leave it at that. But yeah, if you put a J-pole in the attic, you should be okay. Now, the work HF, you need to have enough space for enough wire to probably make a loop around the attic, say at least 130 feet. For a reasonable loop, that is. And we're talking about a horizontal loop strung around the perimeter of the attic. And it didn't have to be coupled with a variable coupler to the feed line to the radio, but yeah. That's my comment. Back to Net.
This is KD0TYU, Net Control for this evening's TechNet. What frequencies on HF were you talking about doing?
I was looking primarily, I'm guessing like maybe 10 meter, 20 and 40. You know, I know I don't really have the room to string enough wire to get up into the 80 or 160 meter.
Right, 20 wouldn't be a much problem. 40 you do need some wire for, okay? And 80, I'm trying to think what that is. I'd have to have my phone up here because it does the calculations for that. What that would be, but that's a lot of wire up there. Do you have a big enough attic to do that, something like that?
Well, possibly. My house, I think the roof footprint is 28 by 36. But now when you're saying you run a loop around there, would you run that, you know, right at the ceiling level, or would you, you know, go up to the peak and back down and then across and back up and down and across to kind of make it use a little bit more wire?
That is a thought, but not really necessary. And if you got enough room to run some 100 foot or so, you can put an antenna coupler, a variable coupler on it, that'll make it work all the way down to 80 meters. But hey, more wire, more signal caught, more signal to play with the receiver in 0WIQ.
Okay. 80JP, Greg, have you ever, you've done a lot of unique antenna type thing, haven't you?
And that fence run is right at 100 feet long. But I didn't know, you know, I saw some of these, like these fan dipoles. But I don't know, do they have to be up in the air, or will they work if they're, you know, only 6 feet above the ground, KE0KBS?
I guess I got doubled in here. 80JP, Greg, you've done a lot of interesting things with antennas. Would you care to comment?
Yeah, we actually had a TechNet not too long ago about RF noise and solar installations. So I think his first problem is going to be noise from his RF, from his charge controller during the daytime. That'll stop at night, but during the sunlit hours, he may or may not have quite a lot of RF noise coming off those panels. The second issue is going to be, like Kerry said, those conductive frames are going, you know, the wiring and everything, and the solar installation is going to block signal. And my third concern is if he runs any kind of power, like 100 watts on HF, and if that power couples into his solar system, it might fry his charge controller. So my recommendation is to research stealth antennas and get some wire outside away from those panels and away from that installation. And it can be very thin wire, and it can be black wire and low visibility, but I wouldn't even try to put antennas in an attic if I had solar on the roof, 80JP.
be with a comment.
KD0YOR chiming in.
Oh, who was that? KD0RR. I guess I missed that call. Go ahead.
Yeah, Joe. It's KD0YOR. This is Matt.
Okay, Matt, I got you. Mikey, you had a comment. KD0USB. Go ahead.
Yeah, in addition to the solar, Lexi's running a sine wave inverter. There's a problem. All kinds of havoc on handbands.
I guess, and I'm going to send this out to you guys that we talked about this a couple weeks ago with the solar thing. Wasn't there something that Larry, and I think even Dave was here, that said you could put on the thing, it was less than a buck or maybe $2 to put it on there that would fix all this solar issues, or is that not, or can he not do that?
There's a part they leak out of the inverter. Regular square wave inverters that's $1 or $2. It's not put another inverter in it. But if you have a square wave inverter, it creates a signal. If you have a true sine inverter, which is the more expensive one, the noise reduction is almost mute.
It kind of makes sense. Greg, do you know what we were talking about? Mike, you were coming in and out a little bit. If you care to come back with that, we caught about half of that, I think.
Yeah. Right, I apologize for that. Inverter. If you have that, Alan was right about running stuff in the attic with that. If you have a square wave, you're in for a...
Well, I hate to tell you, Mike, but we lost more than half that time. It's the repeater, I'm afraid. I don't know what's going on here, but hopefully we can explain. It's just not working, and it's not your fault. Does anybody else have any comments about this?
Yeah, say, Joe, anybody with any signal strength is covering up that interference. That last wasn't making it through, but yeah, with that interference, everybody's making it over the top of that. Okay?
N0WIQ, more about the noise.
Go right ahead, Kerry, N0WIQ.
Well, the gentleman that was the weak signal, he was being covered up by the repeater noise on a cyclic mechanism that was about a fraction of a second of noise that blanked him out and so on. So, yeah, that's one of the problems with this repeater. And I know that James has taken quite a few measurements trying to fix that, but I don't know what can be done for sure. N0WIQ.
Hey, Kerry, this is K6VPE.
K6VPE, go ahead.
Do you have the ability out there where you live to listen on the input?
Not really, because I'm running an ICOM 706 Mark IIG, and it doesn't have a readily available reverse on it, so that's basically the situation I'm in.
Anybody that's in Fort Collins, if they have a reverse, when the noise comes on, you hear that, put your reverse on and see if you hear it. I've been listening, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but that noise changes amplitude. One time it was so strong it wiped out just about everybody, and now it's weak again. That sounds to me like somebody's turning power up and down.
Well, I'll, K0CWM, I'll put on the input side and see if we can fox things.
Yeah, let's just eliminate it that somebody's not playing with us because they don't like to, they don't like the tech net. I don't know what's going on there, but I noticed that the signal was getting stronger and stronger and wiping that guy out. So that's not conducive of receivers and transmitters talking back to one another.
Well, I totally agree. Mike is quite a ways out though. He's kind of covered. Probably got not a real great line of sight, but he's got some. So he's up there quite a ways.
That's true, Joe, except one thing. Let me reset this. Hang on. When I was listening to him, when the signal was weak, he was making it. And as he was talking, the signal was cranked up, so the noise went away, and so did he. And then the signal was cranked back down to make it sound like maybe it's noise. But I think that somebody's messing around.
On now, well, that's good for us, I guess. Maybe they were. I guess I can't say that they weren't. So, but anyway, we didn't get Mike. If you're still in there, would you care to try again?
Mike.
You, Mike.
Going back to the inverter, true sign inverter, usually don't have radio issues. If you have a square wave or non-true sign inverter, you will have issues. And if you have a bunch of solar on the roof, you need to put a self-pull up, like the other gentleman said. You're not going to get out of that.
Okay, that time we caught most of it. I do appreciate that. Any other comments?
This is KD0YOR. With these repeaters and everything, what you're talking about, is there any way you could track down if somebody's doing malicious stuff on them? If so, I would like to know so that I could probably be on the lookout for it. I have a... with my antennas, I run a fan dipole, and I seem to have pretty good luck with it. But, you know, I my 160 leg still has got a little work to go. Over.
GES.
N7GS, go ahead.
If you want to know about finding, you know, looking for sources of interference, come to the picnic on Saturday and bring your HT and some bits of wire or paper clips or whatever else, because we're going to do some of that experimentation in finding stray signals. And that is being done already, and a lot of it has already been traced to not signals away from the mountain, but something internal up there. So we might as well go ahead and talk about antennas, because this thing is going to do what it's going to do. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that little pitch in for the picnic on Saturday.
Hey, Kevin, check to see if you're off-channel on your transmitter.
N0WIQ, is that the repeater?
Well, if you could get through, go right ahead, Gary.
Well, one of the failure modes on this repeater is what's controlling up right now. It sounds like people are in a bucket of water talking.
NGS.
7GS, go ahead.
I would like to suggest that we stop for just a few minutes and let it rest and then come back and see if it's clearer.
Joe, you better take her back to 115 or one of the other repeaters, K0J.
The only thing I could do is go to Buckhorn with this thing. Did it quit?
Yeah, it did. OJ sounded fine.
Hey, now everybody sounds fine. I would recommend to go to 700 machine. KD0ESB.
See what we've got here. I don't know if everybody can go to 700 though.
Well, we got that nice polar up there on Buckhorn. Horsetooth. Let's see how it works.
Hang on just a minute. Let me go over there and see if there's anything there.
It's clear, Joe, and 7GEF.
6E to 700.
Do you guys have a conversation going on over here?
They came over from the net, Joe.
Okay, let me go back to 275. Oh, anybody out there?
K0YOR.
KF7DOB.
K0CWM. See
you. KD0YOR.
AA0RX.
I guess that's okay. N7GS, Kevin, I think you had a comment?
No, I already made it. I was just going to suggest what it was garbling to let it drop and let it stay silent for a few minutes, and that seems to help it get straightened up and clear.
Won't stop the interference, though, Kevin.
Oh, I wasn't talking about the interference. I was talking about the garble.
I know what you're talking about. I just said that that won't help the interference once it clears up. They're still gonna, it's still gonna be there wherever it's coming from.
Yeah, we don't have control over that. I was just suggesting the one thing at least we could about perhaps. Here, so we should talk antennas. I'm tired of this repeater talk.
Well, that wasn't the best either, but anyway, as far as the, there's going to be a small proposal made tomorrow at the meeting, at our board meeting. If anybody wants to show up, we'll be there at 6 o'clock at the Golden Corral in Loveland about this. We think it's the circulators that's in on the 447275. And that's kind of a big expense. So James has got some numbers he's going to run by, and it's something the board can't approve, but it's something the board can talk about. Hey, back to the subject at hand, whoever's here.
SK6BD, clear the net.
One thing, I guess we're recording this. Kevin, are we recording this since we made the switch?
Yes, we are, and the last net has been uploaded as well. To you guys, I don't know if it's on the website yet. N7GES.
Got the note. I think, you know, I'll go ahead and do it, but I think Darren wants to do it, so I'm just letting him run with it until he gets get a point where he can't, then I'll go ahead and start putting him up there. But right now, he said he wants to do it, so I'm letting him do that. Anyway, let's get back to antennas, okay? Again, this is something that's a big subject between people that's here. And there is no wrong answer to this, okay? I have what I like, you got what you like, but what do you think is probably one of the best antennas out there for, let's say, UHF? What's an opinion? Start with N7GES. Go right ahead, Kevin. Tell me what your best idea is for an antenna.
I think there's a lot of best antennas, and it depends on what you're trying to do. I started out with an antenna that was had the properties of being able to work multiple bands and do reasonably well, not excellently, on them, because I started out with a radio with no antenna tuner. It gave me 40 through 10. It's done quite well for me. It's a form of a G5RV, but not the same exact measurements. It's called a ZS6BKW. I'm planning to change that out shortly here for a Wyndham. It also has some of the same properties. Incidentally, it's supposed to be resonant on several bands. It's dipole-like, but it's off-center fed. You know, it'll give you some distance. It'll give you multiple bands. It'll give you, you know, some of both conditions: low, you know, near field or further distance. If you want to set up multiple antennas, like a lot of people do, then you know, you choose different antennas for different things. As far as best goes, I don't think I would go there, but there's a lot of different antennas that are great for different things. So there's my 2 cents for what it's not worth. N7GES. Thank you for that. I don't know. N0WIQ. Carrie, did you make the trip? What's your opinion on antennas, whether they be UHF, VHF, HF, whatever, just we're looking for opinions.
80YR, did everybody go, Phil Voice?
Stand by.
I checked over here and it didn't seem like anybody was having a conversation. Did we interrupt somebody's conversation? I do apologize.
No, we were all waiting for you guys. Did Kerry come back to you?
Kerry was here. It was rough, but he was here.
Well, he ain't on the repeater.
Not transmitting in through the repeater. You're apparently hearing him direct, because none of the rest of us were hearing anything. And that's why everybody was confused.
Okay, since I'm the only one talking to Kerry, Kerry, if you can copy this, we think you're on the reverse or you're talking to me simplex. You're talking simplex because you're not getting the drop. Well, this is a real tech mess. We're trying everything known to man to keep it going, so this is quite technical. Let's see, if 80JP, Greg, did you make the trip, and do you have an opinion about antennas?
Yes, I did, and yes, I do. Stand by one. I got a phone call I got to set aside.
Am I making the repeater now?
I doubled with you, but I think you are making the repeater. You want to come back?
This is N0WIQ, and you kind of know my view of antennas. And anyway, every man-made antenna is a compromise. It's not to the basic isotropic antenna that would do everything, because you can't mount an isotropic loop without distorting it. Anyway. And then every man-made antenna is a compromise. You have to pick the compromise that fits your own situation. Now, if you have like a solar system going with an inverter or things like that, you've got a different set of circumstances to work around with what you might expect from an antenna. If you're in an HOA thing, you won't let you put an outside antenna up. Well, you might have to do the best you can. And as somebody said, look at me, the idea of stealth antennas. That's basically what I got to say.
Very good, Greg. When you get back, just give us a holler.
I'm back. How am I doing into this repeater, Joe?
Good, very good. Go ahead.
All right, so my two cents on antennas is to start with what you're trying to accomplish. If you're 5 miles away from a repeater line of sight, you just want to work that repeater, you're going to have one objective. If you want to work HFDX and you can put a tower up and a big beam, you're going to have a totally different objective and a different approach. So, my suggestion is to start with what it is you're trying to accomplish within the constraints that Kerry touched on there about how much real estate you have and how, if you have an HOA or something like that, or any other limitations, physical obstructions on your property, things like that, and go from there. And sometimes you want an omnidirectional antenna, especially if you want to monitor what's going on around you 360 without turning a rotor. Sometimes you want a highly directional antenna, either to listen to one specific area or to null out some noise source from one direction. You can put that noise source in a null on your directional antenna to get rid of it or reduce it. And so it all depends on what you're trying to do to begin with before you even decide what kind of antenna you want. 80JP.
Excellent comments. Very, very good comments. But I do think we have a couple people, in fact, I know we've got a couple people here who are kind of new to HF. And so they're looking at either cost, which is definitely a factor in my house, or what they can actually do with that. Yeah, everybody talks dipoles and you get it out there, but dipoles are somewhat limited compared to a lot of other things that are out there. Then you have verticals, and there's some issues with verticals as far as radios go. There's beams, and there's a lot of there's issues with beams also. So for someone who can't put up a tower, that's pretty much a non-issue type thing. So I think that's what we're talking about is that if you were just getting new into HF, which there's a few folks out there that are, and didn't really know what you wanted to do, what would be your beginning antenna? Anybody care to comment?
80JP.
You have the floor. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm very happy for that with an off-center fed dipole, and it will tune 80, 40, 20, and 10 just fine. Some other bands not quite as well, but it's practically resonant on those four bands. And a off-center fed dipole is like a basic dipole, except instead of being fed in the middle, it's fed about 20% off of one end. So it's got a longer leg and a shorter leg, and a 4-to-1 balun at the feed point, and then coax coming down. And I've got one that's up at 30 feet, so I don't have to have any towers. I happen to have a tree that's in a good location to get the center up, and then a couple posts on the ends. And it's up at 30 feet at the apex. It's not great for talking to Europe or anything like that, but for anything with a few hundred miles or anywhere in the continental U.S. when propagation is good, it works just fine. And it's unobtrusive, it's inexpensive, and low visibility, but it works well, and it's inexpensive. 80JP.
First one that'll ask this question. Inexpensive doesn't mean anything. What's approximately the cost on this thing? No offense.
Well, I used a commercial 4-to-1 balun that I think was less than $50 from Ham Radio Outlet. And I used just 12-gauge plastic-coated house wire, stranded THHN or whatever they call it, house wire. And that's it, and then coax, so not a lot of money at all. And if you're going to be playing with wire antennas, doing a lot of wire antennas, it's a lot cheaper to go to Lowe's or maybe Home Depot and buy a 500-foot spool of 12-gauge wire or 14-gauge. It's cheaper to do that than to go to a smaller hardware outlet and buy at a 50 or 100 feet at a time. So if you're going to play with a lot of wire antennas, go get a 500-foot spool and shop around for price a little bit, and you'll save a lot of money in the long run.
Okay, I'm going to ask the questions that someone else is afraid to ask. Okay, I go out and buy this wire. How much power can I run through that?
I only go up to 100 watts, so my wire gauge is based more on physical strength than power handling, but I would suspect that properly fed 12-gauge wire would handle full legal limit, you know, 1,500 watts.
KD0TYU, net control for the Seething's TechNet, which has been moved to the 115, or wherever, at the 700, I guess we're at 700. I think somebody doubled with you there, Greg. Somebody else care to comment? Go ahead.
Well, this is KD0YOR, Joe, and I concur with Greg. I went to Lowe's and got a 500-foot spool, and I used every bit of it. It cost me like about $48, and I made a fan dipole, 160, 80, 40, 20, and 10 and 6, and for the most part, with an antenna tuner, I got a Tokyo high gain. It works pretty good tuning it up. OJ showed me a neat way of doing it, and I have fairly good success with it. I mean, yeah, I'd like to have a tower, but I don't know about my neighbors or covenants or what all that is about. So right now, I'm just enjoying my fan dipole over.
great. That's great. I do appreciate that. I think that the dipole is probably the best way to start out. I didn't. I started with a vertical, I'll tell you what. I've used one. In fact, actually, Kevin's got my Wyndham right now, or it's actually his. I didn't have much luck with dipoles, and a lot of it is where I think you're at. But you made one with a 160. My gosh, that must have been lots of wire.
Great.
Yeah, well, I do, and it's not, the 160 is what the Achilles heel of the whole antenna. I'd love to work it, but I don't have it up high enough, I don't think, and I need to probably add a little bit more wire to it, and also maybe get a bigger antenna tuner, then maybe I can play with 160 a little bit. But I have it strung all over my property. I have it coming off the tripod up on the roof over to a post and over to the gable on my garage, and then I have another one run from my gable from the tripod up on the roof to a tree, then over to the gable and everything. So I don't know if it's that or what, but it sure is a lot of fun playing with it.
We had somebody that was breaking in. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's K6VPE. As far as Greg said about number 12 wire, it will handle it easily because at the legal limit, 1,500 watts, the voltage into 50 ohms is going to be like 273 volts, and the current for that same power is going to be about 5.4 amps, so 12 wire will work just great.
Comments about
it. How about 14 gauge? Is that good too?
I just gave you the voltage, won't be a problem. It's the current. So if you look up there and it's say 14 wires capable of 10 amps, yes, it will.
WIQ, Carrie, go ahead.
Well, I'm on 5 watts now, and I hope I'm thinking right here. Anyway, one thought about copper wire. If you might go to Colitex or someplace else and get this 500 foot of wire. The longer the span of wire, the more you'll notice that the copper stretches. And if you get a steel core copper wire, then you'll have the steel holding it, giving it some stretch. And away we go, because as the copper stretches, it changes the resonant frequency.
Any other comments? Go ahead.
KF7BOB, one more vote on favorite dipole.
Hey. Anybody else care to vote? Do we have any other comments about antennas, dipoles, verticals, or whatever?
QFP would come in as usual.
You're coming in a little rough, but go ahead.
Alrighty. Experiment with DTF.
That. Could somebody relay that? Mike, sorry, it was really staticky, and I had this thing turned wide open. I really didn't copy it. I apologize.
That's all right. We're getting some weather up here, and we'll find out. I'm only running a lot. So you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. I really wanted to hear what you were saying. You're always a breath of fresh air and really very knowledgeable, and I like listening to you, but it's kind of rough. Anyone else have any comments on antennas?
KD0QBM.
I think it's QBM, go ahead.
Yeah, Michael in Windsor, do you got a copy?
Got you, Michael, how are you?
Good, I just put a new antenna on here, it's a mag mount, how's it coming in?
Really good, really good.
Yeah, I was wondering, even though this is new, do I need to get a meter and check the SWR, or do you think it's going to be all right?
Well, radios have a built-in thing that they'll shut down if you don't, but it's not a bad idea. I mean, I check everything only because I got a meter. I would put one on just to kind of make you feel better.
All righty, I'll probably have to see if I can buy me one, and maybe I'll check it out.
There'll be somebody around just lend to you, because, I mean, you know, you use it once and then it sits. I know that's where mine's at. But it does sound good.
Yeah, this is, it's a Browning 1180. Have you heard of that?
I haven't, but has anybody else out there heard of them? Not, no, I'm not familiar with it. I'm sure it's a good antenna, though.
Well, I guess we're going to find out.
Zero-TYU here. Net control for this evening. TechNet moving over to 700. Anybody else have any comments about antennas?
KE0KBS.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I do have one question on mounting the dipole. So if I have the solar thing, so I'm thinking the attic is just not doable. If I mounted it to my privacy fence, you know, I could take like a 10-foot pole, mount it to one of the 4x4s for my privacy fence, so I'm not going to be up in the air, you know, 30 feet. Is there a limit, you know, can I do that with, you know, only 6 meters, 10, 20, 40 meters, just because I don't have the elevation, or is there a certain cutoff that, you know, you just got to get it up in the air?
He needs to jump into that microphone of his.
80-0JP, Greg, you dealt with dipoles much better than I have. Would you care to answer that? 80-0JP, Greg, are you with us? Sign up on K6DPE. Bill, you want to answer that?
I couldn't hardly hear him. He needs to do something about increasing his modulation.
Come back with that question again, please.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there is a set height that I need to have a dipole mounted. You know, can I mount it just right at the top of a 6-foot privacy fence? And if I did mount it at the privacy fence height, you know, am I limited to only, you know, 6 meters or 10 meters, 20 meters, etc.?
Well, the rule of thumb is to get it as high as you can to within reason, so I wouldn't want heights to limit how far I can transmit, so I would do something to advise you about getting it up as high as possible. When I say possible, you know, with all the stuff that's going wrong with HOAs and camping and all that sort of stuff, you don't know what you're going to end up with, but try to get it up off the ground is the main thing, high enough off the ground so that you won't have radiation issues with the antenna.
Okay, so if I was to take like an extra 10-foot pole and mount that to one of the 4x4s on my fence, you know, now I'm looking like I'm, you know, closer to 15, maybe getting closer to 20 feet in the air. That would work much better then.
Yeah,
that would certainly help. There's somebody in there with a comment. Go ahead, the other person.
Off the ground for whatever frequency you're going to use it on. But the antenna on the fence will work. It just won't work as good as it could if you did something different. I'll just put it that way.
Let's
see. Bill, did you finish up with him or Kerry?
Yeah, I'm finished. I don't have anything more to say. Roll promise to get it up at least a wavelength if you can, but some antennas, it's hard to do that, so it's not going to happen. You do the best you can. To run an inverted V, you'll probably be better off.
KE0KBS. Okay, well, I appreciate all of the thoughts and comments. Now, you know, I'm still pretty new to this, so I'm probably in way over my head at this point.
He joined the crowd. I'm still learning as I go. I'm a greenhorn at it, as Bill can tell you. But I have mine up about, 23 feet up in the air. I seem to get out fairly well on 80 and 40, 20 meters. Yeah, it all depends upon how you have your dipole strung and which in relationship to where you want to propagate your signal too. Over.
You're into HF. I've learned by mistakes. You've got to be very, very careful when you're dealing with verticals. Now, the dipoles, they're pretty much there, but don't get convinced by an article that says you do not need radials, okay? There are a few antennas that you can use without antenna, but a very few, and they all say you don't need radials, but that's not really necessarily true. I have a friend that bought one, and he's pretty much out $200 because he's kind of like me. He doesn't have room to run radials, so therefore he's stuck. So just be very careful what you read and ask people before you actually buy it, in the know, before, can you use radios with this? And like I say, GAP is one of them that you can use with that has built-in radios. And also the some of the high gains you can also. Opinions on antennas. Doesn't have to be HF, could be UHF.
80-0JP.
You came back. Hi, Greg. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I had to take that phone call after all. But I apologize if I'm covering something that I missed. But regarding low HF dipoles, there's an actual transmission technique or communications technique called NVIS. It's the initials NVIS, November Victor Ida Sierra. It's near vertical incident skyways, and in that it's designed for shorter range communication out to about 300 miles, and you're deliberately keeping your antenna low to the ground, maybe 12 to 15 feet off the ground, and directing most of your RF straight up, and then it comes down in a cone, and like I said, covers 200 to 300 miles, and that will only work below 10 megahertz. You won't get the propagation like that at higher frequencies like you can at an angle. If you shoot straight up above 10 megahertz, it just keeps going. So we're talking 80 meters, 60, and 40 meters are the primary bands for that. And if we're talking within 300 miles, an antenna 12 foot off the ground does very good. 80-0JP.
That's good to know. That's really good to know. Any other comments or questions? Okay, for UHF and VHF, what does everybody kind of recommend?
KD0YOR. Well, I use a J-pole from Aero, and it works pretty good for me.
Other comments?
Thank you.
I doubled with somebody. Go right ahead.
KD0WIQ.
Go ahead, Kerry. You're a little rough, but come back in.
Okay, I boosted the power a little bit. How's this?
Go ahead, Kerry.
Well, on wire antennas, you're going to cut them to some
fraction of a wavelength. So if you want an 80-meter antenna, you'll cut it to 40 meters long and maybe feed it in the middle, maybe off-center. These are just some round numbers, but hey, 40 meters times 3 1/4 feet gives you how many feet long it'll be, in rough estimate anyway. I mean, this is a good rule of thumb for sighting something, for figuring out how long it is, kind of thing. Anyway, you're still going to cut it. Well, you can cut it for half wavelength, a quarter wavelength, an eighth wavelength, I mean, whatever. And they'll work, they just have different performance characteristics. And the half wave works good because exciting the driven element induces the signal in the other half of the dipole, for instance. So the whole antenna becomes a transmitter and or receiver. And hey, that's why they are so popular. They are good. They are simple. They are inexpensive because you buy a piece of wire, cut it to length, and away you go. And if you want to use VHF and UHF, you have to decide, are you going to do sideband low signal, or are you going to do the FM, and maybe even repeaters with the FM. Anyway, these are decision processes you have to go through. What do you really want to do?
That makes a lot of sense, the same thing that Greg said, okay? I use kind of a cobbled up system over here. I've got a very expensive antenna on one side, and then I got a pretty cheap antenna on the other, and the cheap one works just as good as the as that big diamond up there. I'm surprised it does, but it still gets out just about the same places. And actually, the SWRs on it is just a shade better than it is on the diamond. It's 1.2 on the diamond, it's 1.1 on this Jetstream. So I'm just surprised that it's that good. So, any other comments about this subject?
80-JP.
80-JP, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, my last comment is going to be that the ARRL antenna book is an excellent resource for all of these antennas, from HF, VHF, UHF, up into microwaves. And I believe our NCARC library has a couple or three of them. And the current edition, they come out every year, the current edition is the 23rd edition. But I just checked last night, and that was printed in September of last year, so I'm hoping the 24th edition will be out in a few weeks, and I really recommend that book to anyone interested in making antennas on any band. And if you wait a few weeks, the 24th edition might be out, and you can go down to HRO or buy it direct if you're an ARRL member. 80-JP.
And 0-WIQ, a comment about that?
Go right ahead, Kerry. You're coming in fine now.
The theory of matching an antenna to a transmitter has not changed overly, no matter what frequency, but some of the details in one of these antenna books might have been changed in presentation. Still, The old handbook I have is clear back in the 1960s, and it still has valid information in it. The 2014 handbook that I have is just more modern and maybe a little easier to read. Antenna books are specifically for antennas, and many of them, to thoroughly understand an antenna, you have to get into some high-level mathematics so that you get images in your brain about how the actually work. Mathematics is a descriptive language. The higher the math, the more things you can describe. That's all I can say about it. But so an antenna book. Now, I got a book here that says, the guy says he can give it to a secretary and she can build a working antenna. I mean, you wouldn't expect a secretary to know anything from the math or any other theory of an antenna. So, there's that.
Thanks for those comments, and I do appreciate Greg getting in there and also Kerry. And if someone doesn't know what we're talking about, we do have a library now with 20 books in it, and three of those books do have antennas. He's absolutely right. We have two antenna books and then one ARRL simple and fun antennas. And they are up for anybody who wants to borrow them. Anyway, any club member, more than welcome to. Just contact me at treasure@ncard.net, and I will definitely even deliver if I need to. So, these are free of charge for anybody to use. I think we've got 6 weeks. I think we let you do them for 6 weeks, and if you need it longer than that, we can make arrangements. So just remember, we do have a library now. Any other comments or questions? Okay, well, so wrap this thing up. The net lasted 85 minutes. We had 21 check-ins. I do appreciate everybody from doing this. We will be back next week, and I haven't really thought of a topic, but I should have it by tomorrow. And I will go ahead and post it out there and also send it to the members thing. So, like, thank everybody for participating. Again, this net is recorded, and it will be posted very shortly up on the website. So if there's no other questions or comments, say 73 to you all, and you all have a pleasant evening. This is KD0TYU clear.